Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, hello, gentle listeners. I just wanted to let you all know that we are currently raising funds for Season 2 of Death by Dying. If you want to get in on some killer rewards and exciting new stretch goals, like bonus episodes and a Bally Go Backward Boys album, go to deathbydyingpod.com/donate. That's deathbydyingpod.com/donate. Before we dive into the dark and stormy trenches of today's episode, I wanted to tell you all about an amazing new fiction podcast called Margaret's Garden. Everton was a suburban paradise that promised safety and happiness for all of its residents. But now, it's abandoned, and something has gone very, very, very wrong. This surreal horror story from the singular mind of Pacific Obadiah and the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network is out of this world and into another one. It's somewhere between the Twilight Zone and the artwork of Sean Tan, at once beautiful, dreamlike, and deeply unsettling. I can't wait to keep listening. You can listen to Margaret's Garden wherever you find your podcasts, and make sure to leave them a kind review for us while you're there. And now, I'm proud to present the SCP Archives Death by Dying crossover sequel you've all been waiting for, The Case of the Phantom Unicycle.
Item number, SCP. Object class. Continuing to ignore, like my growing debt from my addiction to the pony races. Never bet on Stallion McGee. Oh, Stallion McGee. The following are my best friend, Dr. Ken Kitt's field notes from his latest excursion to the town of Crestfall, Idaho. He received word that he must return immediately when an old case subject resurfaced with the ominous message, "Beware the one-wheeled wonder." Naturally, Ted packed his overnight duffel bag, the one with the little purple ducks on it. And just shy of midnight, he was on the next train smoking. On a more personal note, my friendship with Ted has never been better. We listen to sad indie music together. We bond over our mutual hatred of Euclid-class SCPs and our love of chocolate gelato. Life is good at the Foundation. Ted's field notes go like this.
3 a.m. Hey, Ted's field notes. It's me, Ted. Admittedly, I should have gotten some sleep before driving indefinitely in a random direction for hours until I reached Crestfall. But I couldn't help it. I was excited. I can't remember the last time I was this excited. Maybe that time I got chocolate gelato with John. But this is different. I'm going to see Maria. I redacted her name in my last Crestfall case file, but we're tight now. It's all good. Maria and I have stayed in touch over the last year. After I helped her talk to her dead husband while he was possessing a phantom bicycle, we knew we were destined to be pen pals. Her last letter was off, however. Beware the one-wheeled wonder? What could that possibly mean? I knew the only way to find out was to drop everything and rush to her side. You know, because that's my job. 3:30 a.m. I'm back in a bush. Why am I always hiding in shrubbery? 15:33, Grumbling Grove waits for me like an old friend. A really weird old friend. 3:37 a.m. I was about to knock on the front door when I heard voices coming from the garage.
I just don't want to be stuck anymore. You know, bro?
I see. And how does that make you feel?
It's like I got one wheel in the grave and one out.
I ease the garage door open, the soft scraping of rusted hinges reverberating down the aluminum panels. Inside was a therapist's office. Cozy furniture piled high with throw pillows. Bookshelves lined with psychology publications. There was a wilting fake fern in the corner. Apparently in Crestfall, even the artificial plants are dying. And lying upside down on a faux leather couch was a BMX dirt bike. Its wheels spun absentmindedly in the air. Its handlebars sunk into the couch with a look of despair. Sitting next to the bike was none other than the local wild man, channeling the phantom bicycle. His eyes were vacant, his mouth hanging open with a crooked grin. The voice that emerged from him was not his own.
Sick tricks on my dirt bike was the only thing I lived for. And then I do, like, one backflip off a cliff, right? And it kills me. How is that, like, fair?
That's totally valid. All right, we'll pick this up in our next session.
Do you think I'm getting close to moving on, Doc?
I know it, Andy.
With a whoosh, the wild man snapped back to reality.
Wolfie, that was a doozy, too. Does Wild Man get overtime for this? Wild Man might have to onionize.
You mean unionize?
The Wild Man took an enormous bite from an old onion.
Who? Tasty.
You're welcome, Andy. Oh, Ted, thank goodness you're here.
You're glad I'm here? I mean, of course. Part of the job, ma'am. I'm a professional.
Are you wearing cologne?
It's standard issue from the foundation.
And the cravat?
Why did you send for me?
Ever since we helped my husband let go of this world and pass into the afterlife, I realized this could be my calling.
Talk therapy for bicycles.
To help spirits move on. These phantom bicycles have unfinished business keeping them here. I help them finish it.
It seems like it's going well. Why do you need me?
There's one bike I just can't crack. No matter what I do, it won't open up, won't even say a word. It's the one-wheeled wonder.
Ah, jeez. Behind me, a silver unicycle stood tall and still. It seemed to glare at me. Keen and intense. Suddenly, it rolled forward on a single wheel, zipping around the room before settling near the couch. The phantom unicycle taunted us with its half-deflated horn, daring us to solve it, like its existence was a riddle. A really judgy riddle.
Any ideas?
My extensive training at the Foundation has prepared me for the most dangerous anomalies in the world. Don't you worry. We'll have this bike squeaking in no time. Where were you on the night of the 23rd? What happened on the 23rd? You tell me. You got a family? A couple of tricycles at home? Be a shame if someone popped their tires. You call yourself a bike? You only got one wheel. You're not half the bike these other speeders are. Well, I guess you're exactly half. I'm sorry what I said about you only having one wheel and all. It's actually really impressive. Why don't you just tell me about yourself, huh? How about it? Say something! Anything! What gives? I'm a failure of an agent. Who am I if I can't even do this simple thing? I think it all goes back to when I was 5. The only anomaly I couldn't secure, contain, or protect was myself.
Okay, then. Good try, champ.
I could go again. Throw me in, coach.
As weird as it was, I think you did your best. I guess we'll just never know who the mystery unicycle is. A soul trapped forever in this painful farce we call existence, shackled eternally to the mortal coil of this cruel earth.
Well, when you put it like that...
you can't win them all. Want some popcorn?
I felt a pang of icy guilt in my chest. An ache in my heart I didn't know existed. All I wanted to do was be there for Maria. To help her and impress her. And maybe afterwards we could go out for some hot chocolate at Carlson and Carlson's delicious pastry shop, where the Carlsons serve those delicious pastries. You know, because it's my job. That's what a good agent does. 4:03 a.m. I'm lost. This may be my toughest case yet. Huh? Wait a second.
What is it?
The way the unicycle is stamping the ground like that, it's almost like it's...
Nay! Nay!
The wild man let out a whinny. He shook his jowls and stamped his leg. It can't be.
Ted, what's going on?
It's... Stallion McGee.
It was at that moment the Dr. Ted Kith was catapulted into his past, deep in the annals of history, in the fog of long-lost memories. He was 5 years old. He had fallen face-first into a small puddle, but he didn't have any upper body strength, so he was drowning. His very short life was flashing before his eyes. That's when a feral horse came charging out of a field of sunflowers. It galloped with the fury of 1,000 storms. And with a swift kick of its hooves, it flung Ted out of the puddle and saved his life. As one is prone to do in these situations, the two became fast friends, inseparable. The foal became a stallion, and the boy became a man. The sunflower seed industry tanked, and the Kith family had to sell their farm and their friendly neighborhood horse to survive. They sold him to the local derby, where he raced against the fastest horses in the county and beat every single one of them. Most thought it was because of how he was built, but Ted knew. Every race, Stallion McGee was imagining that little boy, drowning in a really small puddle, needing to be saved. Until last week, when Ted and I went to visit the Derby, I bet on Stallion McGee knowing full well he would win. 1 furlong, 2 furlongs. Stallion McGee was always in the lead, and then Ted and Stallion locked eyes. Something changed, emotions swelled, and Stallion McGee ran straight out of the Derby and never came back. I lost a lot of money that day.
Is it really you, Stallion McGee?
Nay! Nay!
I've missed you so much, buddy. You came looking for me.
You can understand horse?
No, I can just feel it. We always had a bond. What happened to you? He escaped from the Derby. He ran for miles and miles, not knowing where he was going. Lost and searching. Poor guy ran out of steam. Oh, I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you, Stallion. Not then. Or now.
Nay.
I know, pal. I know. You lived a good long life. I only wish we could have spent more of it together. What can I do to help?
How can we help him move on if he can't talk?
The Phantom Unicycle sprung into action, speeding around the garage, knocking over lamps and bookcases. Utter destruction in its excited path. It zipped around me in circles, practically bouncing off the walls. He doesn't need to talk. He needs one last ride. Whoa! Easy, stallion! Ha ha ha! That's it! Steady. ...6:45 a.m. Stallion McGee and I rode for hours. Riding a phantom unicycle wasn't quite the same as riding a horse, but it still felt just like old times. By the time the sun was rising on the horizon, we said our goodbyes, and the great Stallion McGee trotted peacefully into the afterlife.
Well, you looked like you were having fun.
I haven't felt that young since I was young. Well, I guess that's it then.
I always appreciate your help, Ted.
Always happy to help, Maria.
Hey, Ted?
Yeah?
Would you want to maybe get some hot chocolate at Carlson's and Carlson's?
How did you...
I took a peek in your field notes. Couldn't help it. You want to go or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that. Don't look in my field notes.
That concludes Dr. Ted Kiss' field notes. All we know is that when Ted returned to the Foundation, he had a skip in his step and a smile that wouldn't quit. Some things are meant to be left a mystery. We all make decisions we regret. There will always be moments in our lives we wish had gone differently. But yesterday is yesterday. What matters, what truly matters, is what we do today. You owe me a lot of money, Ted.
This episode was made in collaboration with the brilliant minds behind the podcast Death by Dying. Currently, they're raising funds for Season 2, and you can donate to their Indiegogo at deathbydyingpod.com/donate. It's an incredibly talented team, and they make a hilarious and wonderful dark comedy show, and I highly encourage you to check it out if you haven't already. Phantom Bicycle Part 2 was written by Evan Gulak. This episode featured special guest star Nico Durentis as the Wild Man. Our host and narrator is John Grills. Ted Keith was Atticus Jackson. Maria was Nicole Goodnight. Our script curator is Jesse Hall. And our music is done by the incredible Tom Rory Parsons. I'm your showrunner and sound designer, Pacific S. Obadiah. And our producers are Tom Owen and Brad Miska. For more information, visit scparchives.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
I got this really strange email last night.
I need to see what's going on with this mystery file.
Hey, it's a map of a town called Ocean Bay.
Someone sent these images to you for a reason.
I'm so lost right now.
When was the last time you chose a direction and followed it?
I'm going to Ocean Bay.
We don't get many tourists this time of year.
Ocean Bay is a friendly town, but we're not that friendly.
I never sent you an email. I don't even know you.
And why exactly are you here?
The map is the reason we're here.
Maps help when you're lost.
Do you know what a trap street is?
Trap streets aren't real. They don't exist.
Don't trust anyone unless they give you a reason to trust them.
I think he's dead.
How could so much damage happen to a human body in such a short period of time?
What the hell is going on here?
From the creators of Strange Air, this is Trap Street.
So maps can have secrets.
Yes, maps can have secrets.